Okay, so apparently you need a sizzle for a podcast. A sizzle is a thing you do before a podcast starts. So here we go. Sizzle! Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Horrible Photographer's Guide, the podcast where I take you on my adventures from being a horrible photographer to becoming a better photographer and hopefully teaching you lessons that I learn that can be valuable to you on your odyssey to become a good photographer as well. Today, what I decided to talk about was trying to push the limits of photography. Now, that's not to say I am pushing the boundaries of photography and using Hasselblads to take underwater photography and to use Canon cameras with Nikon lenses and putting them on Sony tripods and stuff like that. No. What I just simply mean by that is by taking simple steps, taking simple things, and thinking outside of the box of what we usually do. So for me, I'm a product photographer by choice. I enjoy taking photos of products more than taking photos of people or taking photos of events. I just find that really being able to sit down with a different thing, whether that be coffee, whether that be coffee beans, whether that be playing cards, anything. I enjoy sitting it down and being able to make a story with it and really being able to play with the different parts of what makes a product photo a good photo. Now, one thing that I've run into a lot in my product photo career, which is very short, mind you, is everything is exactly the same. Now, I don't want to say that that's bad because, people have to learn and they learn by copying others, by mimicking others. You learn by doing. And so on, product photography, workflow photography, Facebook pages, you'll see that everyone takes photos of splashes. Everyone takes photos of bottles, and that's about it. And then every once in a while you get someone that really sticks out. And for me, I can shoot a bottle if I need to. I'm not perfect at it. There's still a lot of things I need to learn, of course. I'm far from being a professional, far from it. But there's more to being a product photographer and a photographer at all than copying the people next to you. If I need to, I can make a tennis shoe float and look like it's falling through the sky. If I need to, I can make mugs float in the sky and coffee pour from it into a cup that's floating above someone's head who looks like they're in need of a lot of coffee. That's not hard. I mean, yeah, it's time consuming and it would take a long time, but it's not something that's impossible, but it's also something that's been done a ton. And for me, I guess it's maybe just my personality or something. I want to kind of break away from the things that have been done before. And so I want to talk about my little adventures in trying to push the limits of what photography can be, what it can mean, what it can represent. And so I wanted to talk about my trip to Shibuya, Japan, a famous place of the Shibuya crossing that if you go is actually very underwhelming. It looks so cool on all the videos and everything, but it's literally just a crosswalk. It's not that big. It's, kind of small. And when you go there, when you live in Japan for 10 years, you kind of see who are the new foreigners and who are the ones who have been here a while. And you kind of start to feel embarrassed for the other people who are walking around with selfie sticks. And vlogging in the middle of the Shibuya crossing, holding up traffic. So, but that's beyond the point. So I went to Shibuya to try and take photos of graffiti, because in Tokyo, of course, there's a large graffiti community, highly underground, of course. There's one, my favorite graffiti artist uses stickers, It's I Hate the Rain. I don't know his name, but I went there to go track some of his work down. And while I was there, I recorded a few videos and tried to find ways to make graffiti part of a product. So I set up my camera and I tried to make it look like an art shoot. So I waited for people to walk by and set up the shot. So it was kind of like a still life or a candid shot. And it went well, don't get me wrong. But the shots just didn't really capture the imagination, the feeling that I wanted from that. I just couldn't take the one wall I found, which is, it's pretty easy to find. If you Google Shibuya graffiti, you'll find this famous wall of some of the best graffiti artists in Japan have done this one wall, and it's just kind of a, you know, kind of a something that the locals have kind of kept, but everyone has tagged it over the years and it's starting to look really bad. And graffiti here in Japan is still super illegal, and if you get caught, you'll be taken away forever. So that being said, a foreigner taking pictures of graffiti in the part of town that isn't exactly, you know, well, it's not the good part of town, kind of looked a little strange. So I was getting looks, and I didn't like the photos I was taking. I just could not make the artwork look like a product. I couldn't find a way to tell a story with it. It was just a blasé painting on the side of the street. No matter what angle I took, no matter what people were in front of it, no matter what things I did, I just was not happy with it. So I packed up my camera and I went home. I was there on a family vacation. We all went there for something, and so I had some extra time while my wife and my daughter were out doing something else. So we came back home, and then I had the opportunity to go to a concert the week after. So I got to the concert place a couple hours early, just because I was worried about traffic and everything else. And that's where I found this wonderful festival. There's a place in Sendai, close to where I live. I live in Miyagi. Sendai is the capital of Miyagi. And Kotodaikon is it's in the middle of the city. It's a park. Koen means park in Japanese. And the park was filled with tents and skateboarders. So every corner of the perimeter of the park had a tent on it. And one corner had really loud music going. There's a stage on one side, a very large stage, where they had dance groups and singers, performers on one stage, a giant stage with lights. It was white. It had this symbol on the back, and it had all the sponsors around it. And then there was a courtyard filled with all the people, hundreds of people just eating and drinking. On either side, there were all of these shops that were set up, the hamburger shops, the steak shops, the bars and everything else. They were set up on either side. And then on the opposite side of the stage was the skateboarder stage. So a lot of skateboarders going back and forth and all this. And so it was a very wide area. There had to be, I'd say, close to 500 people there walking around. And then when you went to the side of the skateboarding park, there was another little seating area where there had some local shops set up. There were probably 5 or 6 different, no, there maybe 10 or over shops set up, where you walk through the alley, and the alley was on either side shops, and then there was a little seating amphitheater where they had a band playing, and then behind the amphitheater there was the a very large sculpture. And behind the sculpture, or next to the sculpture, I should say, there's the toilets. And behind the toilets, there was a parking area for bicycles where people were practicing their dancing to get ready for their onstage time. So I found this and I really enjoyed it because it's some part of Japan you never see. When you're here in Japan, as a worker, you see the button-down workers who work from 9 to 5 and usually from, you know, 5 till 9, pretty much. They work 24 hours a day. And some Japanese workers will not even go home. They'll just sleep at their office. So the Japanese are hard workers, as everyone knows. So it was really nice to be able to walk around and see people with tattoos, people with long, scraggly hair, beards, dreadlocks. It was amazing. So I wanted to take this opportunity, this counterculture, as it were, and really take advantage of it and try and find people using things and try and take candid shots and tell a story with those shots. I didn't want to take pictures of the people. I wanted to take pictures of the things and how they were using those things. So I walked around, I took out my camera, I walked around and I found right in front of a pop-up bar. There's a pop-up bar, which is unheard of here in Japan. At least, I live in the sticks, so where I live, it's unheard of. So I walked down, there's a pop-up bar, and they have a really nice display of bottles and the people behind it. So I take the picture, and the bottles are shining in the sunlight, and the people behind it are blurry. So it's showing the story of the people behind it having fun and the bottles in front of it, and it was awesome. Then I walked around and I was able to take pictures of people holding trays of food and people walking by. So the food was a focal point, but all the people drinking and talking around them, that told the story. And it was really interesting to be able to take different things that people were doing. The bamboo spoons that someone was selling, tried to take pictures of those when people were handling them and touching them and really paying attention to the textures. And so this is what I really enjoyed doing. I really enjoyed getting out and trying to see people use things and tell stories with those things and get away from the standard all black background and the four light setup and get away from the floating cups and the smoke coming out of the cup and really get into the nitty gritty. And it was really an interesting experience. It was interesting because, one, I am an extreme introvert. I've become one since living in Japan because, well, I mean, I'm not very, I can speak, but, you know, and I'm still kind of, I guess, nervous. I've kind of gotten that way, especially being married to a Japanese lady. She does most of the talking. So I'm very timid in my Japanese speaking. That's why I don't speak Japanese a lot on my videos or anything else. So it was really a good experience to get out and be able to talk to people, meet people, share stories about tattoos and where they got them, how they fit in the culture and everything like that. It was really interesting to be able to go out and really connect with people and talk with them about what they're eating, why they bought this, how they came here, what's all the story about. So that was one part of it, and just getting out of the box of the standards and really experimenting is what I really enjoyed about that. And so what's a takeaway that anyone can get from this? I think one of the takeaways that anyone can get from this is, you know, sometimes we get caught up in trying to fit in with a community. We get caught up with trying to stick to the cookie cutter standards. And I think while that has its advantages, 100% it does. I mean, you know, we survive by fitting in. The nail that sticks out will get hammered down. But sometimes you have to risk getting hit by the hammer to really grow as a person. And I, like I said, I'm not a professional photographer, but I think that this experience has really helped me to grow as a photographer and really learn about what it takes to be a photographer. And I think this applies to anything. If you're a teacher, an ALT in Japan, which I am, if you are the standard ALT, the cookie cutter, just go to class, don't talk Japanese, do what the teacher does, that's fine, but you'll never have a career. If you're an ALT and you come to class, you make stuff, you talk to the teachers, you connect with the students, and you do all that, you will have a career. They will show the initiative. I think taking advantage of things is what people need to do to drive them. And I hope that my experiences, talking about my experiences of facing my fears and pushing the envelopes, really helps other people to push their own envelopes and face their own fears, because I think it's something that needs to be done. Sorry, I'm saying a lot, and I shouldn't be saying that. I'm just kind of getting on a little rant here, and I feel that it's something that needs to be said. So the takeaway from this whole thing is, even if you have a plan to do something, it might not always come out. So you need to be open to doing other things and experimenting, because you never know what's around the corner. Always be prepared. Always be looking out for those opportunities. If I did not have my camera bag with me that time when I went down to the concert, I would not have had the opportunity to talk with the people, to make networks, to take pictures, and to have an experience. And I think that anyone in any job would benefit from something like that, from that kind of outlook on life and business. So my fellow horrible photographers and other people listening to this, I want to thank you for listening to this, and I hope that you got something out of this. I hope that you like this. If you did, please give it a thumbs up or a star or whatever you can on whatever you're listening to. And if you want to learn more about me, or you want to see some of my photos on social media, you can find me by searching Lance Sensei, LANTZSENSI, or go to my website at ALTSProductions, all one word, .wordpress.com. I want to thank you for stopping by. I want to thank you for listening to this. And if you like this, please give it a thumbs up, a 5-star, or whatever else you want to do. Any comments or questions, I would love to hear them. Send them through the Anchor app, send them through email, through my website, anything else. Thank you very much, everyone. Have a great day.